be looking at a topic that I've called eye transplants. Very strange topic. But before we get into it, we need kids. We got any kids here? Okay, kids. We've got some instructions for you. We need some junior detectives to help us adults today. So, what you need to do, we're going to have the next slide there. You need to come down and see Mrs. Clark down the front. That's this lady here. She will give you a pencil and a piece of paper for you to do your detective work with. So you can start coming down now. As long as you can read, you'll be able to help us with this detective work. So I want you to come and get the pencil and paper, go back to your seats, and stand by for further instructions. I'll be talking to the adults for just a little bit while you get organised, and then you'll get your next instructions. Okay, for the adults. To properly understand what we're going to be looking at in the book of Acts, we need to go right back to the time of Abraham, or Abram as he was called at the time, in Genesis 12, where we read, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." We talk about the Great Commission that we have as Christians. This was the commission to Abram and his descendants. God is saying to Abram that his intention, God's intention, is to bless him and his descendants in a way that all of the other nations around them would be able to receive the same blessings by doing the same thing, obeying God, living in the way that God has told us to live. The other nations around them were known as the Gentiles, which literally means other nations. So they were God's people, originally known as the Israelites, later probably referred more to as the Jews. Now, God's people, that was their mission. They were to live in a way that was pleasing to God and show the other nations how God would bless you if you lived in that way. Now, and we can't get cocky about this, but God's people, instead of concentrating on being the great example for others to follow, they were up and down like a yo-yo. I guess there's no other way to describe it along the way. And one of the things that developed was this us and them mentality. Yes, God wanted them to be separate, but they developed this real us and them mentality, which at the time of Jesus translated into a real disdain and a distancing from those other nations, from the Gentiles. It's probably also good to note here that there was another group that they had disdain for, which was the Samaritans, who they regarded as heretics. The God's people had those sort of attitudes. The last bit of background that we need to understand is the Levitical laws about what is acceptable and unacceptable foods. Okay, so there should be a diagram up there showing you what modern Jews sort of consider what's acceptable to eat and what's not. So we've got, for example, animals that chew their cud and have split hooves, cows, sheep, goats, deer, etc. But to a Jew, as we would probably know, pork, well, sorry guys, that's off the menu if you were a Jew. But also there are other things, rabbits, kangaroos. I'm not quite sure how kangaroos got in there. I don't know whether they had kangaroos in that part of the world back then. Maybe they did. But there were certain foods that were okay. There were other foods that weren't. And remember, God's people were to be a witness to other nations, the Gentiles, and that's the way God wanted it to be. Now, kids, you ready? Here's your instructions. Okay, So it should be up there. So we're looking for a special number. As we read through Acts chapter 10, we're looking for a special number, and we're only looking for the number words, you know, O-N-E-T-W-O-T-H-R-E-E. I've learnt to spell them. That's great, isn't it? So we're only after the words. We're not after the symbols, as you can see there. If you see a number one, like, you know, all the verses have numbers, we're not looking for those. We're looking for words in the Bible reading that have numbers. And, of course, the word T-O, although some people might think that that spells two, as in the number, it doesn't. We don't count T-O or any of those. Now, the way that you'll know which the special number is it occurs more often than the other numbers. So you've got to be, as we go through, you've got to be listening for those words, and you've got to note which one is most common. And maybe mum and dad or your grandparents might help you with that. Anyway, on with our reading. We're moving now to Acts chapter 10, and we'll be going through there. So, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Now, just a thing to note here. As a centurion, Cornelius was a Roman commander in charge of about 100 troops. He had about 100 troops under him. Now, the Romans had taken over the land of Israel, and so the Jews hated them. As we read, Cornelius was a God-fearing and generous man, but he was still classed as a Gentile. Let's read on, verse 4. Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter." That's confusing, isn't it? Anyway, he is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now, a question for the adults, see if you're paying attention. What was Cornelius doing when God spoke to him through this angel? What was Cornelius doing when this happened? He was praying. Yeah, sorry, I can't hear through the mask, but that's okay. He was praying. We need to take note of that. On with the story. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray, as you do. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. So, what was Peter doing when he had his vision? He was praying, that's right. Now, just another note, remember that list of animals and so off, acceptable foods, right? If you look here, which side does these foods, these things that he saw? Birds of the air means things like birds of prey, eagles and hawks and all sorts of four-footed animals. Which category do they fall into? The ones that are okay, the kosher ones, or the ones that are not okay? These are the not okay ones, okay? Then a voice told him, that's to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Now, again, remember, Peter, he grew up in a Jewish society, and even though he was a fisherman, fishermen were regarded fairly lowly in that society, but as a Jew, he knew what he was supposed to eat and what he wasn't supposed to eat, right? Question for us adults, and I don't want an answer yet. Why wasn't once enough? Why didn't it just come down once? Why did it have to come down multiple times? Think about that. And in fact, our detectives are going to find out for us later part of the answer to that. Let's continue reading. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Now, notice here that God tells him what he wants him to do, but doesn't tell him why. He just said, "Go with those men." Hasn't met the men yet. God said, "This is what I want you to do." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. And if we know anything about the Jewish culture, that was a no-no. You do not invite Gentiles into your house. Why did he do it? Because God had told him. God said, "Look, this is what I want you to do. These men will come. I want you to go with them." Continuing on, verse 23, "The next day Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him stand up." "Whoa, stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." Now Peter knows why God him asked him to do that. But he didn't get the why until after he had obeyed. Right? God said, "You do this." Peter did what God asked him, and then he understood why God had asked him to do it. That's sometimes the same for us, isn't it? We need to just obey in faith and trust that sometime later we might understand why. We continue, verse 29. "So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Now both Peter and Cornelius knew what God had done. They both understood where God was going with this. Listen carefully to what Peter says next. "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." We're going to come back shortly to that last statement because that's really important. But before we do that, we're just going to finish off the chapter to see what God is doing. Now, junior detectives, you've finished your investigation now. What you have to do is to take note of which number was mentioned there the most. That was pretty hard to do, wasn't it? But I'm sure some of you will get it. And so I want you to, on that paper, write your name and write the number that you think was most common in there, while the adults, we just read on and finish that chapter quickly. So, continuing on from verse 36. "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who came with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Okay, junior detectives, how are you guys going? Okay, unfortunately, you've got to wait a little bit longer. Can you hang on a little bit longer? I promise it'll be worth it, because at the end of the service, you've got to wait till the end of the service after the last song, you'll be bringing your papers back to Mrs. Clark down here, and she will reward you, and I think there's a pretty generous bag of rewards there, okay? So can you just hang in there a little bit longer? Okay, good. I'm nearly finished. Okay, good. So, coming back to that bit at the end of verse 35, God accepts men, and of course women, from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know, even in the Old Testament, there were non-Israelites who became part of God's people, right? This isn't a New Testament thing. This is what God has been doing all along. It wasn't just for the Jews. They had their role, but it wasn't just for the Jews. Think of Ruth. We all know the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She was a Gentile. And yet, through the witness of her mother-in-law, Naomi, this is what she said. Ruth 1:16. And this is when Naomi is trying to say to her daughter-in-laws, "Go back to your families. I've got nothing to offer you. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." She accepted the God of her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi fulfilled what God had asked Abram and his descendants to do. She was a good witness to her daughter-in-law. And of course, she went on to become the great-grandmother of King David. How's that? Now, when Jesus was doing his ministry, he ministered to all sorts of people, to women, to Gentiles, to Samaritans, people living with a disability, lepers, demon-possessed people, even tax collectors. Jesus ministered to all of those. The Jews would not go near most of those, but Jesus ministered to all of them. Now, Peter had just seen Jesus ministering to all of these different people, and yet God had to do something pretty dramatic to get the message through to him. Now, God had to open Peter's eyes to see God's agenda, not the agenda of the largely Jewish culture around him. That culture would not have gone ministering to the Gentiles. It was enough that they'd already gone to the Samaritans, let alone the Gentiles. For us, we can have that same struggle. To see what God is doing, which of course is always seeking to bring the lost into his kingdom, bringing them to salvation, sometimes that needs us to become uncomfortable. Sometimes God asks us to do something that was uncomfortable. That would have been uncomfortable for Peter. All his life, he'd been going with the culture. You know, we don't associate with the Gentiles. It was uncomfortable for him. And yet that's what God asked him to do. Even sometimes to go against the religious culture. Not against God, but against the religious culture. So, I know some of you are going to ask, okay, that's very good and easy. How are we going to know? Is God going to give us all dreams and visions? Well, for some people he does, but I can give you some strategies that I know will work because we've read about one of them today. What do you think is one of the answers to that question? How are we going to know what God wants us to do today on Sign Up Sunday? Pray. Right? Yeah. Peter, what was he doing? He was praying. Cornelius, what was he doing? He was praying. God used them because they were praying and he brought about that great thing. I mean, you imagine, that was the start of something amazing. The God's ministry had been predominantly to the Jewish people. This was the start of God opening it up and saying, look, the intention was always that everyone, including the Gentiles, would have salvation available to them. The other part is, of course, to spend more time looking at the book of truth, the Bible, than what the culture is bombarding with us constantly through what I call the book of masks. I think you know what I'm referring to there. We need to see what God has been doing right throughout history because he hasn't changed. This isn't a new thing. This is what God has been doing right through. As elders, we have somehow been seeing that God has really been working in these last 2 years through COVID. Whether it's just that we have been less distracted and seen more of what God is doing, I'm not sure, but God is at work, really at work. And now, as Pastor Brett said before, now is not the time to be pulling out of ministry. Now is the time to, if anything, we should be sowing more into what God is doing in our community. He is working, he is changing lives. I don't know whether Chamber will be able to keep up with all of the good news stories. Because God is at work and he wants us to, as Pastor Brett said before, step up, step forward. Let's pray. Lord, as we sung before, we ask that you would give us eyes to see us, ourselves, as you see us. God, help us to see ourselves as you see us. Father, help us to see you as you truly are, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the mighty and powerful God, and yet a God of mercy, of grace, of compassion, of love. You are all of that and more, Father. Father, help us to see the people around us, not through the eyes of our culture, but Father, through your eyes. Help us to see people around us as you see them. Help us to have a heart, the heart that you have for people around us. And Father, on this sign-up Sunday, help us to see and to know what you want us to do. Father, it may be uncomfortable, but Father, show us clearly what you want us to do. Help us to see the ministry that you want us to be involved in today, so that we can be part of your team, doing what you are doing so well in the world today, that we might be blessed, but even more importantly, that people in our community around us might be blessed, just as you asked Abram and his descendants to do so long ago. Thank you, Father. Amen.